It's your life. Live it. Live on AWR SID Media, from broadcast to baptism.
I don't know about you, but prophetic visions may seem otherworldly, perhaps. But their messages often speak directly to our everyday lives, right? But they do sound somewhat outlandish, out there. Are we bridging the gap between ancient prophecies of beasts and objects that have 30,000 eyes and look like aliens and our modern realities? Or have we left them in the past? We need to bridge that gap, and that's why we're bridging that gap between what is written in the prophecies and our realities, or at least our concept of our realities. And that's why we do have Pastor Mbofu helping us to understand just that. Mfundisi, good afternoon to you. Welcome, and thank you very much for agreeing to talk to us.
Good afternoon to all of us. Good afternoon to our viewers,
so, our listeners. Do tell, Pastor, how do biblical prophecies really relate to the challenges we are facing today?
Thank you. Thank you. That's a very pertinent question. So maybe the first thing that we would want to look at is to say, when the prophecies are written, or maybe let me say when the Bible is written, the target audience are the people. And the purpose is to reveal Jesus Christ and reconcile men back to God. And so the Bible has some issues or some principles that guide the individual from day-to-day lives. When it now comes to the prophecies, you know, especially when we look at the prophecies of Daniel and Revelation, they are written, in fact, in Daniel chapter 12, maybe if you read from verses 6 up to the end, Daniel was even told to seal up the book, for it pertained to the time of the end. So in other words, the prophecies of the book of Daniel, they pertain to our time, And we are being told that according to the prophetic calendar, the time of the end began in 1798. When we read the book of Daniel chapter 12, the time of the end begins in 1798 up to the second coming of Christ. So in other words, the prophecies specifically talk about what is happening now. Maybe before I cite some examples, let me read the book of Revelation chapter 1, verse 3. It reads as follows. Blessed is he who reads and those who hear the words of this prophecy and keep those things which are written in it, for the time is near. So the one who reads and those who hear are blessed. Why? Because the time is near. But it is not only about hearing, but about keeping the things that are written. So when you're talking about keeping here, it means that what we read from the prophecies is applicable to our daily lives. So in other words, prophecy is a practical application. There is need for the individual to apply the prophecies practically. Maybe let me cite some examples. When you're talking about the prophecies, for example, when you go to Daniel chapter 2, we find the image, the statue of King Nebuchadnezzar, symbolizing the nations of the world, beginning from the head of gold, the nation of Babylon, and then the chest and arms of silver, the nation of Medo-Persia, and then the bronze, the thighs and belly of bronze, symbolizing the Greece, and then we have the legs of iron symbolizing the Roman Empire, and then we have the feet, there are 10 toes there in the feet. They symbolize the 10 kingdoms, the divided kingdoms of Europe. And then there is when you read that prophecy, it shows us that they shall not adhere to one another. I'm just citing one example. They shall not adhere to one another.
Right.
Now, when you look at the history of Europe, you realize that there have been many attempts to unite Europe. You read of the likes of Charlemagne, the likes of Napoleon, the likes of Hitler. They tried to have one court of law in Europe, but they failed.
Right.
That's fulfilling fulfilling the words of the Bible. Even now, there are so many organizations that have been made to try and unite the world into one thing. But because the Bible says they will not adhere to one another, in other words, they will not agree or they will not form one worldwide nation. So then, how does that apply into our practical lives? Now, if God is able to speak about certain things, maybe, for example, when you talk about the book of Daniel, it was written about 2,500 years ago. So if God is able to predict something that will happen maybe for the next 2,500 years, it means that God is the one who controls the universe. He is the one who is in charge of the universe. In fact, a prophecy tells us that God is in charge of the universe. So if God is in charge of the universe, it means that God is in charge of the lives of each individual. So if I'm facing a challenge, there is a God who knows my future. There is a God who knows my name. There is a God who controls the nations. There is a God who controls the universe. There is a God who controls the history of the world, the future of the world. So if he is able to control everything, it means that if I hand over my lives to him, if I hand over my challenges to him, he takes care. It means that nothing happens to me unless God permits it. And it also means that whenever God permits it, then it's for my own good because he's in control. That is what is said in Romans chapter 8, verse 28.
All things work together
for good.
Yeah. Yes. Can prophecy really help us navigate modern societal issues? Really, Mfundisi?
Wonderful question. Wonderful question indeed. So, for example, we see now, for example, there are wars these days. You talk of the Ukraine, you talk of Israel, you talk of many wars. There are wars. Those things, they were prophesied in the Bible that you shall, when you read in Matthew chapter 24, you shall, especially verses 4 to 7, you shall hear wars and rumors of wars. There shall be famines and pestilences. So the Bible talked about those things. And now you see the cause of those wars and maybe of the famines and pestilences, you realize that it is the rejection of God's law. It is the rejection of God's principles by the people. So when we go back to the Bible, when we go back to the prophecies of the Bible, you notice that there are principles that even the modern society should follow. And then you realize that when those principles are not followed, and then the world will get into calamity, it will get into challenges. So in other words, the problems of the society today, they are caused by the rejection of the biblical prophecies. If people obeyed the Bible, if they obeyed the prophecies of the Bible, the world will be better, the society will be better. The prophecies, they show us, when you read the book of Revelation, for example, the messages to the seven churches in Revelation chapter 2 and 3. They address some issues of daily life, how people should live, how the society should behave, how leaders in a society should lead the people. So when the prophecies are read and applied into practical life, they have the answer to the modern problems in the society.
So your answer is what? Yes, we can navigate modern societal issues using prophecy? Is that what you're saying?
Exactly.
Okay.
We can actually see some examples in the prophecies and also get some principles of how we can navigate the problems of the society today.
Let's get into that. What are those practical ways to the church that the church can apply prophetic teachings in today's world?
Wonderful, wonderful. Maybe let me read some examples from the book of Revelation here. It says, I'm reading Revelation chapter 2. Maybe I'll read from verses 2. It is a message to the church in Ephesus. It says, I know your works, your labor, your patience, and that you cannot bear those who are evil. And you have tested those who say they are apostles and are not, and you have found them liars. And you have persevered and you have patience, and you have labored for my name's sake, and you have not become weary. Nevertheless, I have this against you, that you have left your first love. So this is a message to the church in Ephesus. But this message has a lot of practical relevance to our modern society. For example, what can we learn from maybe the seven churches? You notice that when the seven churches are doing well, there is a commendation from God. He compliments them. He compliments their well-doing. So what principle can we get for our families, for our work, for our subordinated work? When someone does well, they should be given a compliment. They should be given a commendation. They should be given a reward. We should not ignore when someone does well. That's another practical example. Even if my child has made some mistake in the past, but when they do well, I need to compliment them. So that is a practical aspect that we learn from the prophecies. And then the other one, you notice that God does not only commend the church in Ephesus, even all the seven churches. He will also say, I have something against you. When you read chapter 2, verse 4 of Revelation, I have something against you that you have left your first love. So what principle do we get? When someone does wrong, they should be approached in love and they should be warned and they should be assisted, they should be disciplined to say, no, you have done well in this area, but you need to sort out that area. So we get a practical balance of life to say, when someone does well, give a compliment. When someone does something wrong, you should assist them. You should help them to come out of that wrong thing. And then there are several principles that we can also get in our world, especially these days when there's a lot of impatience. We see there's an aspect of impatience in the world today, but here we are being told that God's church, God's people, they should be patient, they should persevere, even in difficult times. You realize that we are also going to face persecution in the near future as God's people, where we see that the prophecies talk about persecution and perseverance. So there are many principles that we can learn and apply them practically into our daily lives from the prophecies of the Bible.
Are there examples where prophecy has shaped the direction of the church?
For example, when I specifically refer to the Adventist church, we notice that when you talk about maybe Ellen G. White, Ellen G. White spoke, for example, about the publishing work of the church. He said the church would begin publishing a small paper. And if you notice now, the church has a lot of publishing houses. The publishing work has grown bigger and bigger, and it's helpful to the church. The leadership ministry is helping in the spread of the gospel. The other example is the establishment of schools. She also advocated for Christian education. When you read maybe her book, Education, it talks about the true education, and she encouraged the church to build schools. And today, we are actually the second largest church that is schools after the Catholic Church. So it's another practical example of how prophecy guides the church. You talk of the health work. We have a lot of clinics, a lot of hospitals. So the prophecies, they are very much practical and helpful to the church in modern times.
Okay. So how do we make prophecy relevant to a tech-savvy generation?
A wonderful question, because you know these days people are always found in gadgets, etc., etc. So we make prophets relevant. I think the church has also done much better on this area, because you know they say when you want to get fish, you should go to the river. That's where you find fish. And when you want to catch fish, you should use the worms that are eaten by the fish. You don't go to catch fish using something that the fish cannot eat. So in order to make prophecy relevant to the modern society, we need to make sure that we make prophecy available in all social media platforms. For example, we have soft copies of books. They are found there on many other platforms. We also have some videos or sermons that have been recorded concerning the prophecies of the Bible. We have audio Bibles, audio prophetic sermons. So those are all attempts, soft copies of books. Those are all attempts to make prophecy relevant into the modern world. So it's found on social media. It's found online, so that the people who have access to those things can get and read and maybe listen and then apply into their practical daily lives.
Okay. Funes, thank you very much. I really appreciate that. I'm looking forward to our conversation. It continues to open my eyes. I'm hoping everybody who's listening is also getting the eye-opening experience that I'm having. Thank you very much for your time. Have a wonderful day further, Funes.
Thank you. Blessings.
You are tuned into Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.